Broadcasting from the ESPN Radio Studios in Tallahassee, Florida, and in partnership with the JoeBucksFan.com Podcasting Network, this is the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast with Tom Lang.
Hello, hello. We're in a place called regular season limbo. This is the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast, part of the JoeBucksFan.com Podcasting Network, brought to you all season long by our good friends at Bill Curry Ford, who remind you the true nationwide lifetime warranty on new and used vehicles is here. All the easy deals are at BillCurryFord.com. It's more than just a powertrain, plus, come on, people, get on this. All 2018 vehicles must go up to $10,000 off. Reach out to our good friend, Sean Sullivan, the general manager at Bill Curry Ford, or visit the aforementioned BillCurryFord.com. And so it is, folks. Limbo. Limbo, limbo, limbo. This week was all about personal accolades, the superlatives of the regular season. I'm sick of those. Are you? I mean, like, it's great that we are one of three teams in hockey history to be at 60 wins or better. That's awesome. One of the three best teams in the sport. We are at 61 wins currently with one game to go. The all-time NHL record, 62, held by the Detroit Red Wings in 1995-1996. Nikita Kucherov last night with an empty net goal that played a little bit of Plinko in Toronto, off the post and in, now has 126 points, 40 goals on the season. Tampa Bay Lightning has three 40-goal scorers in the same season. That's happened for the first time since 1995-1996 when the Pittsburgh Penguins did it. Once again, we're doing some things that teams have not done in 20-odd years. And if you look at Nikita Kucherov's point total at 126, which happens to also be the point total for the Tampa Bay Lightning in the standings, 126 points through 81 games played, well, Nikita Kucherov has the highest point total this century in a single season. I mean, it's stuff to just absolutely marvel at. And if he records two more points, he will have the most points in a single season for a skater since Mario Lemieux in the mid-90s. It's awesome, but I'm ready for all of this to end, and let's get to the getting, as my good friend Jeff Cameron says up here in Tallahassee, because it's all about the postseason. And right out the gate, I'll tell you a couple of things about the postseason. The media has kind of been sleuthing around down there in Tampa for a couple of answers, one of which is, when are we going to play? We know we're hosting. As long as we're playing in the playoffs, we're going to have home ice advantage. That's what the President's Trophy got you, and we won that thing weeks ago. So how about when are games one and two next week? Well, they are going to be Wednesday and Friday night, unless something ridiculous happens like we cancel concerts and events at Amalie Arena. Wednesday night, April the 10th, is when the two-month journey begins. Are you ready? Did you do your chores? You've got one more weekend. Tomorrow's game with the Bruins means absolutely nothing. Have you done your chores? Have you stained the deck? Have you done the pruning? Spruced up the rose bush? I don't know. Whatever it is you're doing, get it done, because next Wednesday it starts. And if we want to go the distance, then you better be prepared for 6 to 8 weeks of absolute mayhem. Who might we be playing on Wednesday and Friday night of next week? Well, okay, the NHL wildcard picture looks like this. In wildcard position number one, the Carolina Hurricanes. They clinched a playoff berth for the first time in, I think it's 10 years, but they did so this week. Through 81 games played, Carolina holds 97 points. In wild card position number two, that would be the one that matches up with Tampa, the Columbus Blue Jackets currently sit at 94 points through 80 games played. So it's possible, I don't know how likely it is, but it's possible that Columbus could jump Carolina in the standings if the Blue Jackets win tonight and tomorrow and Carolina loses its final game. On the outside looking in right now, a team that needs a ton of help, that would be the Montreal Canadiens. They need Columbus to fall flat on its face, and Montreal needs to win its one remaining game. Montreal has 94 points. That's the same as Columbus, but they are three games behind in the row category, regulation overtime wins. That means the tiebreaker goes to Columbus in any potential scenario. Magic number for the Blue Jackets is 2 points. Any combination of 2 points that they either earn or Montreal forfeits, and the Blue Jackets are in the playoffs. So let's say Montreal loses in overtime or a shootout, and Columbus loses in an overtime or shootout. That would be enough to get the job done. So it looks like Columbus or Carolina with the heavy odds at the moment on the Columbus Blue Jackets. There is also an interesting twist here that if Pittsburgh were to lose its final game of the season, they're at 99 points in the standings, and Carolina won its final game of the season, well, then Carolina would jump Pittsburgh into the third position in the Metro Division, and that would pit Washington against Pittsburgh in the first round. That's what I'm rooting for this weekend. I don't care what happens as long as we stay healthy in Boston tomorrow. I really don't. We're going to have a bonus podcast on Monday, Joe Bolts Fan Podcast. Once we know who the opponent is, I'm going to put a better bow on the season at that point, and we are going to preview the first round of the Stanley Cup playoffs, beginning Wednesday in Tampa Bay. And hopefully at that point, we will have a better idea about the headlining story, Victor Hedman's health. That's everything right now. That's all that matters, is how is number 77 doing health-wise? Will he be available to us by the time we start round one on Wednesday? There is no official, publicly consumable diagnosis for what is wrong with Victor Hedman. But I think you can do the math here. It's an upper body injury. He suffered a hit to the head and neck area against Washington. See where I'm going here? And the Lightning haven't denied that it's a concussion, that he has at least gone through concussion protocol. So, a hockey player can play through a broken jaw, lost teeth, broken nose, broken face, like an orbital bone or something like that. I mean, they'll play through any of that stuff for the playoffs. And we haven't heard boo about Victor Hedman getting his jaw wired shut. I'm not saying I know it is, because I don't. But do the math here. Victor is likely, going through the protocol. And that's what we've got to wait on. And knowing from, if you're on JoeBucksFan.com every day for the football coverage and then you jump in on this podcast for the playoffs, you understand. Concussions are fickle things. You know, for certain players, it could take you 2 weeks to get back. For other players, it could take you 2 days. They have protocols that they use, and once you clear it, you're good to go. So Victor, once he comes back, one would think he's in perfect hockey shape, maybe just a little bit of rust for a period or so, but he should be fine whenever that time is that he's cleared. Hopefully it's sooner than later, because here is the point that I teased last week on the way out of the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast. Even though there is a gulf between Tampa Bay and the rest of the NHL, specifically the Eastern Conference, in the standings, through 80, 81 games played, and by tomorrow evening, it'll be 82 games played, and the season's over. There is a gulf. 126 for the Lightning right now. Next closest team is Boston at 107. Even though we are essentially 9.5, 10 games clear of the next closest team in the East, it does not mean that we are not vulnerable. We are vulnerable in the playoffs. This is hockey. The 95-96 Detroit Red Wings, in an era that did not include a salary cap, did not win the Stanley Cup in 1995-1996. They won 62 games in the regular season, and they didn't win the Stanley Cup. You know who did? That would be arch rival Colorado. The Avalanche ended up winning the Stanley Cup. They swept Florida in the 96 finals. So just because you hang all of these banners, you win all of these awards, you're setting records for productivity that have been standing, or at least marks that have been standing for 15, 20 years, some cases more, and you're doing better than all of those, it doesn't guarantee a thing in the playoffs. The danger begins in round one. This isn't the NBA playoffs of the last decade, where you kind of know who's going to be in the finals even before the regular season starts. Hockey is way, way, way more volatile, especially if Columbus is the team that we face in the first round. Because Sergei Bobrovsky can be awful, but he can be great too. And that team has played us well this season. I don't always look at up and down the ice matchups in a regular season and say, well, this is how it's going to play out in the playoffs. Because if you look, last year in the first round, the New Jersey Devils swept us in the regular season. What do? We dismissed them in five games. Could have been a sweep, but it was easy peasy. So I don't always look at that and say it's a one-to-one ratio between the regular season and the post. However, they do have a little something for us. Would I pick Columbus in a best of seven? No way. But would I be worried enough that if Bobrovsky got hot, that they might be dangerous? Oh, yeah, definitely. The NHL playoffs guarantees nothing. Once you're in, you have a chance to win the whole thing. LA won as an 8 seed back in 2012. They climbed all the way up to get into the playoffs. They eke in, and then guess what? They go on a two-month hot streak, and that starts the first of a couple of cups. It was one of those eras where you had two teams out of the same conference, and whoever was coming out of it was going to win the cup. It was Chicago or it was LA, and that's when LA emerged as a dark horse candidate. And Jonathan Quick gets hot. They play great defense. They win a bunch of 2-1 games, 3-2 games. The overtime breaks, they go their way. I mean, think about how many games we played in overtime this year. We have seven shootout decisions. We've won six of those. But when you get to a 3-on-3 overtime, what does that tell you about 5-on-5 play? What you might do in 5-on-5 play? Absolutely nothing. So I'm excited to do that on Monday. I know I did just kind of a quick preview here in the last couple of minutes, but that's what's coming on Monday. Once we know the opponent for sure, we'll go up and down, take a look at that roster, and see what it is we need to do to get the job done. And hopefully, Victor Hedman is ready to go. Beyond that, tomorrow, I mean, if Kucherov wants to score a couple of points, and so he puts himself next to Mario Lemieux in terms of the point totals that he put together, then by all means, go ahead. Thankfully, this week he pulled away a little bit from Connor McDavid. I know McDavid's played four fewer games this season, so if he played 81 to this point, just like Kucherov, it would be a neck-and-neck race. Maybe McDavid would be ahead. But right now, Nikita's got 126 points to Connor McDavid's 116. So the Art Ross is coming to Tampa Bay. We've won it before. Marty St. Louis won it in a bridge season. That's when we came back from the lockout about 8 years ago, however long ago that was. And then also Marty won it back in the Cup season, and that was 03-04. He beat out Robert Lang, no relation to your host here, from the Red Wings, who got hurt in the final month of the season. And Marty won that Art Ross trophy with under 100 points in a season. How times have changed, because Connor McDavid's 116, and let's assume he puts up a couple more, his 118 or so, would be one of the top 5 point totals in the last 15 years. He just so happens to be doing that at the same time that Nikita Kucherov is kicking arse and taking names. Andrei Vasilevsky leads the league right now in wins, 39. It was good to see him look sharp last night in Toronto. If you want to do that game one more time, we may do it briefly on Monday. 8 points were available to the Tampa Bay Lightning between the last time we spoke and today. We grabbed four of them. The Washington Capitals took it to us on Saturday. That game meant a lot to them. You could see it. They did not want to lose three straight to Tampa Bay before we got into the postseason. And obviously they were trying to close things out or get much closer to clinching the division for the Metro, which they did just earlier this week. So congratulations in air quotes to the Capitals for winning the Metro Division. But they beat us 6-3. I mean, they handled us. And I thought, you know, we had a chance maybe to get on even footing in the first period. Victor Hedman hits the post. This is before he gets hurt. And they were just a little bit tougher. They wanted the game a little bit more. I think we've been battling this week. Not complacency like in years past where I get worried about it. I mean, when you do this much, it's unprecedented. I mean, you could kick your feet up, go golfing. I mean, look at Stamkos' neck. I know that sounds like a weird sentence, but have you seen Steven Stamkos' neck? That thing is beat red, like Hulk Hogan getting chopped by Ric Flair in the chest from the 80s or 90s. That dude has been spending a lot of time on the beach. The sunburn is strong with number 91. I think this team's been kicking back, relaxing, and managing their minutes and managing what they do in terms of effort level. And of course, you're going to give a professional effort, but that's different than a playoff effort. I think we can all say that's fair. The other thing we've seen this week, obviously, is we beat the Senators without much difficulty 5-2, and then we lose to a Habs team that's very, very hungry. And clearly, we were not earlier this week. We lose 4-2, and then last night we beat Toronto 3-1. We're mixing the lines a little bit. I don't know if this is just something that we're doing as a reward for the players or if this is something that we need to look at for round one. But if you notice that the line, the number one line all season long has been Point, Kucherov, and Johnson, well, now it's Point, Kucherov, and Yanni Gourde. Is that something we should expect moving forward? Line two has been Stamkos, Palat, and Tyler Johnson moving down with those two. Is that something we should expect in round one? And that question can be extended to JT Miller did not draw into the lineup last night. Is that for rest, or are we really going to rotate that dude in and out? Line three last night was Cirelli, Killorn, Matthew Joseph. Sevens and ones are wild. I do like that line. I think our third line is going to be a huge weapon for us next week and moving forward in the playoffs. But how are we going to juggle these things? Was this just an experiment? Did the players draw names out of a hat because they wanted to have some fun for a week? Or is John Cooper trying to build something more? It could be that we return to the original lines and we're trying to create a plan B before we need a plan B. This is the kind of chess you play when there's really not much to play for. And so for me personally, again, I'm just very, very excited that this season has reached its final weekend. It's been a wondrous 82-game campaign. It's one that I really appreciate, but I'm over it. I'm done with it. Let's move on. We can hang the banner for the President's Trophy next year. Stamkos got the trophy. He touched the trophy, which is an important thing. He says, I don't believe in demons. Let's go after this thing. Okay, no problem. But frankly, there's nothing to be learned this week other than the new stats, records, and marks we're setting in a salary cap era. We've won 75% of our games in a regular season. Congratulations. It's fantastic. But what did we say week one on this very podcast? It is a cup or bust season in Tampa. And so we're about to hit the reset button. We have home ice throughout. We've got the best draw you can get as the number one overall seed. But beyond that, nothing is guaranteed. And so when we sign on next Monday, get ready for the lights, the camera, and the action. We're doing Monday, previewing the playoffs, and then Friday next week, we'll be reacting to Game 1 and previewing Game 2 of the first round of the Stanley Cup playoffs. Frankly, folks, I think you can hear it in my voice. I've been ready for this for about a month. This has been, if I may, for just a moment, the paid host of a podcast. May indulge me as I complain for just a quick second. It's been a tough year to do a podcast. I have, as a Lightning fan, this has been bliss. Because every Tuesday or Thursday, you sit down on the couch, you flip on the Lightning, you expect to win, and you're right. More than 75% of the time, three-quarters of the time, you're picking up 2 points. And you do it in all kinds of ways. So as a Bolts fan, that's awesome. But as a podcast host, how do you keep that interesting? And I think that's the thing, that's the argument I make for John Cooper being the best coach this season and somebody that deserves the Jack Adams Award. How do you keep players motivated when they're so far and away better than any other team in the regular season, when they're racking up points left and right? How do you do that? Managing professional personalities in this day and age with a millennial generation. I'm one of the millennials. I'm not scoffing at them, but motivation is kind of an issue with millennials. So how do you do it? Whatever he did, rinse and repeat next year, buddy. And because you don't need motivation in the playoffs. That speaks for itself, and we've been waiting for this for about 11 months now, 10, 11 months. So now that we have our chance, now that we've done all there is to do in the regular season, let's go get it. We'll talk again on Monday, Tampa. I appreciate you listening to this final regular season edition of the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast. We'll put a bow on it next Monday, and then we're looking forward because it's onward, upward, and let's see if we can lift that cup. Talk to you next week.